Good morning, Pastor Heaton with you. Once again, the Bible Baptist Hour. And once again, we're at the end of our series of messages on what Jesus did for you. Today will be our last message in this series, and next Sunday, of course, Lord willing, we're here. We'll start a new series. Our church is located on the east side of the road as you come into Lupton. No matter which way you come in, you find this big white building in the middle of town, parking lot across the street. Plenty of room for you to park. And we hope that you would come and visit with us. Maybe you're up here, moved in the area looking for a church. Give us a try. You never know. We might be what you're looking for. And then again, we may not. We know that. We've got enough sense to know we're not the right kind of church for everybody. And I don't mean that unkindly or wrong or that we're better than. It simply means that some people don't like the kind of preaching we do, or they don't like the music that we sing, or they don't like programs that we have. And that's understandable. It's a free world and a free country so far, and I'm glad we have those choices. We are going to be hearing a song today, Give of Your Best to the Master. As always, we'll play that song before we get into the message. Third part of this message entitled, What Jesus Did for You. I hope in some way it's been a blessing and help to you. And if so, listen at the end of our program. Our announcer will give you an address where you can write, and if you would take just a few minutes and drop us a note, let us know that you listen. It'd be a real blessing, all right? All right, the song, Give of Your Best to the Master. Then into the message, the third part, the final part, What Jesus Did for You.
Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's wholehearted fervor into the battle for give of your best to the Master. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give of your best to the Master. Given to you shall be given. God his beloved Son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Join in the battle for truth.
See, Jesus come to show me how it's done. And then he says, now that I've done it, you can do it. I've had people tell me, well, he was God. I beg to differ with you. I beg to differ with you. Yes, he was God. But I beg to differ with you that when he was here on this earth, he was a man in the flesh. And I beg to differ with you when he could have slapped somebody up, he didn't. My Bible tells me he got hungry and he got tired and he wept and he was weary. And those are all traits of humans, not God. And so when he came here and practiced that, he expects me to practice it too. Not only that, I want you to know that he forgot my sins. Now that was exciting to me because I can't forget him. David said, my sin is ever before me. Boy, don't they plague you sometimes, huh? Don't you have to confess as a Christian sometimes, boy, You're getting you're by yourself, you're sitting in the living room reading, or you're doing something, and all of a sudden there's something pops up in your mind and the devil says, Have you ever gone through a day and wondered if you're saved or not? Because the devil began to bring up the things you can't forget. You say, what kind of a mind has God got that he forgets? I don't know when he gets there, ask him. Psalm 103. I want to read you something. It's Old Testament in its context, but we'll get to the other part of it in a minute. Psalm 103 in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Slow to anger, didn't he? He practiced what he preached in Proverbs, didn't he? Huh? Aren't you glad God don't blow his top like you do?
Amen.
Imagine this morning, if you would, that yesterday when you messed up, that God would have said, that just makes me mad. You know where you'd be this morning? Plastered all over this country somewhere. Because if God ever slapped you upside the head, they'd never find enough pieces of you to put you back together. You'd be worse than a Challenger accident. Aren't you glad he's kind of slow to anger? See, God don't count to 10. He counts to 2 trillion. It'll come through. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, thank God for that, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, thank God for that. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How about that for a distance? You want to talk about a removal? You want to talk about a forgetting? Wouldn't it be good on this earth if we could just act that way toward one another? I don't know that that ever happened, but it'd be nice. Let's turn to Micah. Micah. I'm watching. The wife finds it first. No, she didn't, Brother Gordy said. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Okay, Micah. Micah 7, verse 19. Now this is, I know these are in reference to Israel, but you'll please note something here. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Now, pardon me for being literal for a minute, if you would. All right? But I don't know how else to be. If you can't be figurative, I'll just be literal. I can see God now, you know, and he's up. Israel's getting ready to be judged in time, and he's getting ready to make an eternal nation out of them. And he takes all their sins, and he gathers them all up in a little group. He looks out there in the great deep, and he goes, watch this hook shot. Say, are you making fun of God? No. God ain't interested in your sins. One day, about 1990 years ago, I'm sorry, about 1970 years ago, his son went to an old rugged cross outside of Jerusalem and hung there to take your sins. Do you think God's interested in them? Not for all the money in this world. And God says, when you get right with me, I forget them. I ain't interested in them no more. They're done, paid for, back over here. And they ain't interested in bringing them back up again. Now, with that in mind, let's go to Hebrews 10 a minute. Hebrews 10. Now, in context of Hebrews 10, you know what it is. Context of Hebrews 10 is some shadows of things to come. It's a replacing of the law. The high priest has gone to heaven. He sits down at the right hand of the Father in verse 12, and he's perfected forever in verse 14, the saints. The context is some Christians, some saints. And look what he says about them in verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I There you go. There you go. Now, you say that's Israel. It's not. Chapter 8 is Israel, and I'm not going to go back and look at it, but chapter 8, at least verse 17, is Israel. That's you.
Amen.
That's you. Amen. God said, I forgot them. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to face a payment on your sin. The wages of sin is death. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But we're talking about God someday holding every little sin you've ever committed up before your face and saying, okay, pay up. God says, paid for at Calvary. Forgotten. Amen. Turn to Romans 4 a minute and then we'll move. Romans 4, just one thought out of here and we're going to move on. These are sermons alone without being in a sermon themselves. Romans 4, verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute, that is, bring against, charge, hold up against him, sin. Nobody in this room that's saved this morning is ever going to stand before God and he'll bring out a book and say, all right, we're going to start when you was three and stole your first cookie. And you're going to give an answer for every one of these sins you did. Why, with some of you, we would have to wait for eternity just to get our chance. Huh? I mean, there's some of you sitting in here this morning. I mean, man, old Brother Bill, he's laughing back here. Some of you in here, you got to live so long, and if God was to charge you with every sin you ever committed, bless God, Brother Jay and I'd be standing in the background waiting. And I'd be behind him. Because I know I'd have a few thousand years to wait just for him to get through. His wife is just smiling. She ain't saying nothing. And you know the nice thing about that, Jay? Your wife and my wife don't know half about us what they know. If they did, they'd have never married us. But I just want you to know this morning, God knew it. And despite that, he still loved us. Amen. And still saved us and said, gone. What sins are you talking about? Then he freed us from the slavery of sin. How many years before you got saved did you try to quit doing things? How many years did you try to quit this and try to quit that? And boy, you'd try it, and boy, you'd get along for about 2 or 3 weeks, or you'd substitute something for it, and then right back in that same mud hole. And the next time is just worse than it was the time before. And one day Jesus came along and saved you and freed you from that old slave. You didn't have to serve him no more. I don't mean he don't knock at your door once in a while. I don't mean once in a while he comes up and says, a cigarette, one drink, one of whatever. It just means you're not in servitude to him anymore. No man in this world is a man who's a free man. No man's free. From sin. Freed from sin. There are two laws. One can override the other in Romans 8. And these two laws are given in verse 2 of chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If you've been set free, and according to John 8, you are free indeed. And then let me just quickly give this one here. He fixed my destiny. He fixed my destiny. I'm glad he fixed my destiny. I tell you what, the greatest joy I've ever known in my life was to one day come to the realization that I was going to heaven and nobody could stop me. That I couldn't even stop myself. And I was glad to find that out that not anybody in any church, not anybody in any religion, not anybody anywhere could say, you're not going to heaven. Because Jesus already said I was. As sure as I was headed to hell one time, now I'm headed to heaven. And as sure as that destination had been fixed, this one is fixed. Isn't that good? You know, imagine a man saying, you can't know for sure you're going to heaven, but you can know for sure you're going to hell. Well, that's a mind boggler if I ever had one. As sure as I knew I was going to hell, I know I'm going to heaven. Let me just read you something. Our conversation, Philippians 3:2, is in heaven. Colossians 1:5, our hope which is laid up in heaven. 2 Timothy 4:18, he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Now, that's it. I just gave you three of them. There's a whole bunch more. I want you to know this morning, he fixed my destiny. I couldn't do anything about it, but he did. In Romans 8, which we were there just a minute ago, and I'm going to read these verses to you. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Isn't that positive? For I am persuaded. There's somebody that knew something for sure, didn't he? Man, you can't know for sure. Paul is absolutely positive for sure. He said so much that he was persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature, E.T. whatever, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
How about that for assurance? How about that for a fixed destiny? Did Paul know where he was going when he died? You bet he knew it. He knew it so much he said, I don't care if something living, something dead, something up, something down, something in, something I can't see, something I don't know. Can't ever fix that. But it's fixed. Now I like that kind of fixing.
Amen.
Two things. 1 John 5 and John 14. I'm going to show you two things and then I'm finished. I want to show you two things about this destiny. God gave me two absolute assurances that I could know it. I've had men say to me, you can't know that. I can so. I can be pretty stubborn about that, but I can so. Say why? Because one time I didn't know it. But now I know it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is a record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Pretty clear, ain't it? Huh? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Positive, is it not? Absolute assurance, is that not?
Amen.
That ye have eternal life. Do you know that? Do you know that this morning?
Amen.
All right, number one. He fixed my destiny. I have his written word on it. Right there it is. You got it in your lap. You got your written word. You see it? Did you read that? He said these things are what? Written. You got a written word. You got God's written word. It's like a letter to you. He said, I just want you to know something. If you know my Son, you got everlasting life, okay? But just so that you, in case there's a little confusion to you, look at John 14. In John 14, you know, I hear all kinds of stuff, you know, well, this is out of context. You take the context wherever you want it. I know what it is. John 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll give it a great consideration, and maybe I'll come back. Huh? That's what yours reads? You and I got the same Bible. What's wrong with the rest of these folks? They got the wrong one. You know what it says? I will. Now, not only do I have his written word, but I have his spoken word. And I guess if William Carey could accept God's word as the word of a gentleman, I guess I can. William Carey said, Matthew 28 says, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And he said, I'll trust that, for that's the word of a gentleman. And if Jesus said he would come back, and he promised me I had written letters that said that, I got two absolute, immutable, infallible things this morning. Number one, a written word. Number two, the spoken word, which says, I'm going to come back. You're going to go to heaven. I want to make a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Boy, do we have a great Savior. And I just want to be honest with you. Coming down to the end of this age and the end of this time, almost 9 years, we're at that point now, 9 years left in this. Imagine, 9 years left in this millennium. And unless we're absolutely all wrong, somewhere in that amount of time, the Lord's got to come.
Amen.
And getting down that into that time, I'm sure glad this morning that I know absolutely for sure that he did it for me. I'm glad that I can go home this afternoon, lay down on my bed, take a nap if I get a chance to do that. And I'm glad I can do that and know that if I don't wake up, I'll go to heaven. And if I do wake up, I'm still just as saved as I was when I laid down, just saved a little bit longer. And I do know that if he should come while I'm laying down, he'll wake me up to go home. Amen.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, that's one wake up I wouldn't mind having this afternoon. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, tell you, if I went home, laid down this afternoon, and the trumpet blowed, I wouldn't get up and say, oh, Lord, I didn't get to finish. Huh? I'm glad he fixed my destiny. And I'm looking forward to going home. Well, that's all I can give you this morning. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad Jesus did some things for me. Are you?
Amen.
Now let me ask you a question. What are you going to do for him? One of these days, I'm going to be able to look at Jesus and I'm going to be able to say, Lord, you never failed me one time. One day I could look at him and say, well done, thou good and faithful master. Will he be able to look at me and say, did a good job, Paul? Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. I have an opportunity. What will I do with the time I have? I know what he did for me. Now the question is, what am I doing for him?
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.